welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Well, before we do get started, I do want to let you know the program is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. And in particular, I want to thank Paul for becoming a new Patreon supporter at the rookie level of $2 or more a month. And I also want to thank Stephen for moving up to the Detective Sergeant level by increasing his pledge as well. Thanks so much, Stephen, for becoming a Detective Sergeant, which is a donation of $7.14 or more per month. You can become one of our recurring Patreon supporters at patreon.greatdetectives.net. And you can also become a one-time supporter at support.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date is November the 12th of 1946, and the title is Poisoned Fan.
And furthermore, there will be an expense account of $100 payable in advance. Yours very truly...
Michael Shane, private investigator. And get the money on the line.
Well, even a dick has to eat, baby.
Oh, I'm all for it.
Well, you don't think I'm in this business for my health, do you?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's such nice, wholesome work.
Well, there's one thing about it, honey. You don't live long enough to get bored with life.
The Hastings Manufacturing Company and the Kayside Corporation present Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. If you were to ask Michael Shane, he'd tell you that Phyllis Knight is the perfect secretary. First of all, she's very attractive. That's definitely first of all with Shane. She's intelligent, conscientious, an excellent typist, and good at dictation. There's only one catch. She's just as likely to give dictation as to take it. For instance, Shane is at his desk, feet upon it, and Phyllis is saying...
Now, Michael, remember you're the guest of honor tonight, so please try to act like a gentleman.
Oh, don't worry, sweetheart. I'll be on my best behavior.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Huh? What do you mean?
I've seen your best.
Oh, baby, you wrong me. I'm a perfect gentleman. Why, I never struck a dame in my life, unless she asked for it. And I always tip my hat.
You might try taking it off sometime, especially indoors.
Oh, I do.
You do?
Always.
Mm-hmm. How about now?
Huh? Oh. Well, honey, this is the office. It makes me look more businesslike, the executive touch.
Okay, J.P.
Now, don't worry, Phil. You'll be proud of me. I swear it on a stack of Emily Post.
I hope so, Michael, because I understand the professor and his wife are very proper. And Amy does so want to impress them.
Well, I still don't see why she picked me, honey. I'm just an ordinary dick.
Well, you've built up a reputation, Mr. Shane. And Amy's been thrilled to death ever since she met you. Wants to show you off to all her friends. She thinks you're glamorous.
Ah, if I could play the piano or do card tricks or...
She'll be satisfied if you just tell them how you outwit desperate criminals.
Outwit them? All I do is hang around until they pull a boner and then I pull a gun.
Oh, well, you can make it sound glamorous for Amy's sake.
Okay, shall I recount in some detail how I deduced that a man was 6 feet tall, blonde, and blue-eyed simply by looking at his footprints?
Oh, now you don't have to overdo it, Mr. Mastermind.
Well, it's a fact.
You mean you could tell all that just by looking at his footprints?
Mm-hmm. He was standing in them.
Ah, marvelous. Well, here we are. Ring the bell, George.
Okay.
Oh, Mr. Shane, it's so wonderful that you could come with us tonight. Positively a feather in my cap, believe me.
Yes, Shane. Amy couldn't be more impressed with you if you had two heads. Everywhere we go, it's my dear. Who do you think I met the other night? Michael Shane.
There, you see, Michael, you're a celebrity.
Yeah. First thing you know, Phil, people are going to be wanting my autograph.
Mm-hmm. You better learn to write.
Hello.
Oh, how do you do, young man? Professor and Mrs. Watkins are expecting
you. Oh, you must be...
I'm Amy Vickers, and this is my husband, George. And these are our friends, Miss Knight and Mr. Shane.
Hello.
How do you do?
Michael Shane, the detective.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Shane is the man who single-handedly captured the 6 murderous Holloway killers.
Is that a fact?
Yeah. I surrounded them.
Michael. And then there was a time...
Amy, Beth, this young man is trying to tell us something.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm Herschel Tolliver, a friend of the professor.
Herschel Tolliver? Well, of course. I've heard oodles about you, but oodles, just believe me. The professor tells me you're practically a protege or something.
Yes. Now, won't you come in and I'll tell Mrs. Watkins you're here.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Go on in the living room. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Oh, isn't he a nice boy? The professor says he's here most of the time. Practically lives here. They're that fond of him. One of the professor's students, I think.
Well, what does this professor teach anyway?
Oh, didn't I tell you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, criminology. That's why I especially wanted you to meet him. You'll have so much in common. And besides, you... Oh, good heavens.
Michael, that was a shot.
Yeah, stay here. I'll go see.
Michael, I want to
stay here, all of you. I'll go see what's wrong.
Well, it's okay by me when people are playing with fire.
What's going on in there?
Oh, Mr. Shane, just a minute.
I'm sorry. When I hear a gun, I don't wait. Now, what's going on here?
I tell you, I'll kill her. I'll kill her, the little busybody.
Stop it, for heaven's sake.
What's she talking about? Who will she kill?
Nobody. She... It's nothing.
Get out of here, you detective. I won't have you spying on me.
I'm not spying on anybody. I don't like gunplay anyway, that's all. Say, you better put that revolver away, Mr. Tolliver.
Yeah, sure. It went off by accident. No harm done. The bullet just went in the floor. See?
Yeah, I see.
Oh, you see, do you? He was trying to get the gun away from me because I was going to kill that little busybody.
Helen, please.
What little busybody?
Now, really, Mr. Shane, don't play innocent.
Huh?
I know why you're here. I know why she had you come. She wants you to spy on me and Herschel.
Helen.
Well, it's none of her business what I do. And it's none of yours. So if you...
Shut up.
What?
I said shut up. You're right. It's none of my business what you do. But the way you're yapping, you're making it everybody's business. If you have any sense, you'll keep your mouth shut.
Why, you can't...
I came here as a guest. I'm not spying on anybody. I'm not interested in your private affairs, and I don't want to know anything about them. They don't sound appetizing.
Then you didn't come here to...
No, I didn't. Now, come on. Let's go in with the others. We'll tell them there was just a little accident. And if you're smart, you'll play the perfect hostess you're supposed to be.
Yes, I guess you're right. I'm sorry, Mr. Shane.
Forget it. And I mean forget it. If I was rude, I apologize. But you were getting ready to do and say things you'd be sorry for later. Now, come on, come on. Let's go.
I ate too much.
Oh, good dinner.
That was a delicious dinner, Mrs. Watkins.
Thank you, Miss Knight. Now, if you'll all just go in the living room, I'll serve coffee in there.
Oh, fine, certainly.
Just make yourselves comfortable. I'll be right here.
Oh, Mr. Shane, tell the professor how you broke up the Stilson gang.
Well, I didn't do it alone, Amy.
No, practically alone. Except for a little help from who was it?
The San Francisco Police Department.
sit down. Now, Mr. Shane, you've had some very interesting exploits in tracking down criminals, but did you ever consider the reverse problem?
What do you mean, Professor?
The aspect of crime I find most fascinating is the problem confronting the would-be criminal.
Oh, the perfect crime, huh?
Precisely.
Well, there's no such thing. There's always some little slip, you know.
I wonder, if someone with your or my knowledge and experience with the subject were to apply himself...
No, he'd trip up somewhere, Professor.
Oh, good. Here comes Helen with the most tempting-smelling coffee.
Would you care for some coffee, Miss Knight?
Oh, yes, thank you. No sugar or cream, thank you. I always take it black.
Here you are,
Miss Knight.
Well, Mr. Shane, let's see. Now, just for the sake of argument, let's concoct a perfect crime. You and I.
And I, Professor.
All right, Herschel. First of all, we ought to consider the choice of weapon.
Well, I disagree, Professor. I should think the first consideration should be choice of victim.
Quite right, Mr. Shane. I accept the correction.
Victim? Well, how about me? I think that would be jolly.
Coffee, Amy?
Oh, thank you, Helen. I'll take 3 lumps, thank you. Well, Mr. Shane, how about it? How would you go about killing me?
Oh, must I? I'm rather fond of you, Amy.
Oh, you're a dear. But really, how would you?
Well, cyanide in your coffee would do the trick.
But how would you get it in the coffee without anyone knowing?
Well, that, of course, would be the problem.
An insurmountable one, I hope. Because I simply adore a good cup of coffee, believe me. And so saying, she downs her cup of him.
Oh! Amy, what is it?
She's just acting the part.
She doesn't look like she's acting. She fell on the floor.
Amy, what is it, Jane?
What's the matter with her?
Just a second.
Well?
The matter with her is she's dead.
And now, for a moment, let's not worry about our detective friend. After all, there are too many worried people these days, anxious about their automobiles. New cars are still hard to get, and some of the old ones are in a sorry state. Many, for example, burn up oil almost as fast as it's poured in the crankcase. Now, you've seen them going down the street, laying a smoke screen from curb to curb. Well, this oil pumping usually means worn-out piston rings. And your serviceman, your motor specialist, has the remedy for that. In just a short time, and at a nominal cost, he can install a set of Hastings piston rings that will stop oil pumping, check cylinder wear, and restore your engine's pep and power. When you need new rings, it will pay you to get Hastings piston rings. They're tough, but oh so gentle. Tough on oil pumping, gentle on cylinder walls. Now remember that name, Hastings piston rings. The best money you can spend on your car. Guests at Professor Watkins were discussing murder. Michael Shane offered poisoned coffee as a possible method. A moment later, Amy Vickers dropped dead. She had just taken a drink of coffee. Now Shane is at the phone talking to the inspector of the homicide squad.
Okay, Inspector. Send a man right over here, will you? I don't like the setup. What? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, a couple of angles. Right. So long. The police will be right over.
Mr. Shane, you shouldn't have talked about poisoning coffee just when she was about to drink some. You know, an idea planted in the mind.
That's right. Scared her into a heart attack.
This was no heart attack, Mr. Tolliver.
What do you mean? Good Lord, you're not suggesting that...
Yes, I am. Oh, I'm no doctor, but I've seen poison deaths before.
Poison?
What?
You mean there actually was poison in that coffee, Michael?
Looks like it.
But who could have done it?
I don't know. Yet.
Surely you couldn't have gone to such lengths simply to illustrate your point.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Professor.
Mr. Shane.
Yes, Mr. Tolliver?
Will you come in the other room, please? I want to tell you something.
Tell me here.
I can't. Please.
What's going on?
Please, Mr. Shane.
Oh, okay. Come on. Phil? Phil, keep those big blue eyes open while I'm gone. See that nobody touches anything.
Yes, I will, Michael.
Right in here, Mr. Shane.
All right, Mr. Tolliver, now what is it?
Mr. Shane, how much will it cost for you to forget what you heard Helen say earlier this evening?
Oh. Sorry, no sale.
I can make it worthwhile.
Not interested?
But you said you didn't care about our private lives.
Murder makes them public.
But good Lord, neither Helen nor I committed the murder.
We'll let the police decide that.
But you know what they'll think.
I have a rough idea.
I won't let you submit her to it. I won't.
Now, listen, Sir Galahad. We aren't playing patty cake. This is murder. There are rules about that.
And I'm asking what you'll take to break the rules.
Now, listen, punk. Amy was a friend of mine. All right, she was kind of a screwball, but she was harmless. She meant well, and I liked her.
Oh. Well, if that's the way it is...
That's the way it is. Now, I'm going back to the others.
All right, Mr. Shane. Looks like you win.
Yeah.
Except for this...
Ooh. Oh, my head.
Hello, Mr. Shane. You're coming out of it?
Oh, hello, Tolliver. What happened to you when the roof fell in?
That was no roof. That was a candlestick.
Oh. Bright boy, this Shane. Brilliant detective. Letting you get behind me.
Well, you wouldn't listen to reason. I had to do something.
So you dent my skull with a candelabra and tie me up.
I had to do something.
Yeah, so you said. Well, the way you got me tied, Parcel Post would accept me.
I'm not taking any chances on your getting away.
Where are you taking me?
My apartment.
The others are going to be missing us.
I'll go back and tell them I gave you a lead and you're following it up.
How long do you think that's going to satisfy them?
Long enough to give me time to crack the case, I hope.
You've been reading too many stories.
I've got to clear Helen.
Even if she's guilty?
Don't say that. She didn't do it, I know it.
Who else could?
What do you mean?
Murderers don't just kill anybody. Whoever killed Amy must have intended to kill her. It wasn't an accident that she got the poison coffee.
Okay, but that doesn't mean...
Well, who gave her the coffee? Your dear Helen.
Maybe she didn't get the poison in the coffee. Maybe it was in something she ate earlier that just started to take effect when she drank the coffee.
No, I don't think so. It hit too suddenly. Looked to me like a fast-acting poison.
Well, capsules then. She could have been given a capsule of poison. The poison wouldn't work until the capsule dissolved.
Yeah, I was right. You do read books.
So, you see, it didn't have to be Helen. And I'm going to find out who really committed the murder before you get the chance to put the police on her. I know what they do to her. I know their methods.
Now, look, just because the nice young man always beats the police to the killer in stories...
I'm not a child, Mr. Shane. I'm not basing my plans on fiction.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You took a course in criminology with the professor, and you probably have a junior G-man badge, too. But while you're playing mastermind, do you expect everyone else to just sit back and wait?
Well, of course not.
And among other things, Phyllis is going to be wondering about me, and sooner or later they'll find me.
Oh. Are you suggesting that I kill you so it doesn't matter if they do find you?
Hey, maybe I talk too much.
Maybe you do.
What are they doing out there? They've been gone a long time.
I don't know.
Mr. Tolliver told Mike he had something to tell him, but they've been gone so long.
Yes. Good Lord, what do you suppose has happened? Well, there's one way to find out, Mr. Vickers. Let's go see.
All right, Professor.
You don't suppose...
I don't know. But whatever it is, Mrs. Watkins, I don't like it.
Now, look here, Tolliver. You're only making things harder for yourself and Mrs. Watkins by kidnapping me. Why don't you take me back and...
told you. I've got to crack this case.
Youth in love.
You don't need to make fun of me.
Yeah, in love with a married woman at that.
Listen, mister. Another crack like that...
Yeah? Well, anyhow, I can see where we stand. From here on out, we play rough.
Not you, Mr. Shane. You won't do much with your arms and legs tied. And as a further precaution, I made a point of taking Helen's gun with me when I left.
Oh, good for you.
You like the idea?
Yeah. Because even though my hands and feet are tied, I can still do this.
Hey, what are you doing? Take your feet off that accelerator.
Oh, no.
They'll hit something.
Yeah, it could be.
Shane, for the love of heaven. Well, I'll get it out of gear. There.
Yeah, that won't help coasting down this hill.
Hey, you're stepping on my foot.
Yeah.
I can't get it on the brake. Shane, stop it. We'll be killed.
That could be in the cards for me anyway. Just watch where you're going and steer.
Shane, please.
Okay, you can stop now, pal.
Oh, thank heaven.
Yeah.
What was the idea, Shane? Did you figure to attract the attention of a traffic cop?
No, but while you were so busy wrestling with the steering wheel and gear shift, I managed to get my hands into your coat pocket.
Oh.
Yes, Junior. And now I've got the gun, and even with my hands tied, there's nothing to stop my finger from pulling the trigger. So now, for a change, I'll call the shots.
I don't know where they can be, Sergeant Leslie, and I'm worried.
You say Tolliver asked Shane to go in the other room with him?
Yes, Sergeant, and when they didn't come back, the professor went to look for them.
Yes, I went all over the place, Sergeant. They must have gone out the back entrance.
Oh, dear, you'd think they'd at least have said something.
I couldn't, Phil.
Michael!
I don't talk in my sleep.
Oh.
Hello, Sergeant. Your man at the door let us in.
Where have you been, Michael?
Well, Junior here took me for a ride, but it turned out to be a round trip.
I suppose this ties in with the murder, Shane.
Well, I'll let you figure that out, Sarge. I'm tired. All I want to do is get out of here, so I'll tell you what I know and leave the masterminding to you.
That's not like a detective. I should think you'd want to see this through.
When my head gets back to normal size, I'll try seeing things through. Right now, all I want is a place to lie down.
Oh, darling, you've been hurt.
Oh, no, baby, I'm all right. It's the room that keeps spinning. Oh, make it stop, will you?
Well, Mr. Shane, is your head better this morning?
Yeah, yeah. The little men who were running around inside of it have stopped. Now they're just jumping up and down.
Well, at any rate, I'm glad to see you're not going to allow it to interfere with your thinking.
Huh? And on what do you base that brilliant deduction, sweetheart?
I can tell by your feet.
You can tell by my feet that I'm about to lose myself in thought?
Mm-hmm. They're firmly implanted on your desk.
Oh.
And haven't you told me over and over
again? Yes, that it helps me think.
Yeah. Well, how's it going?
What?
The thinking.
Well, I have a hunch Junior was right.
About what?
Amy didn't get the poison in the coffee.
Why?
Because none of us could be sure which cup Amy would take, and that would... I'll take it. Hello, Shane speaking. Oh, morning, Sergeant. Huh? Are you sure? Well, there was, huh? How about the rest? Oh, I see. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, well, thanks for telling me. If I get any ideas, I'll let you know. Right. So long. Well, leave us face it, baby. I am undoubtedly a great brain.
What now? Have you solved the case?
Didn't I just get through telling you why Amy couldn't have got the poison in the coffee?
You did?
Uh-huh. Well, that was Sergeant Leslie. He says they found out how she was given the poison.
How?
In the coffee.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are they sure?
Yes, yes. They analyzed what was left in the cup, and it was full of the stuff. But it doesn't make sense.
Michael, maybe the sugar. The poison could have been in the sugar.
Yeah, yeah, I thought about that. So did Sergeant Leslie, but he examined the sugar in the bowl. None of the other lumps were poisoned.
Oh, well, if it was a strong poison, one lump would do it.
Yes, but how could the murderer be sure that Amy would get the poison lump?
Mm. Well, if she were served first...
But she wasn't, honey. And Helen Watkins didn't know that you don't use sugar. Say, I wonder if she could have added a poison lump to the bowl after she served you.
No. Uh-uh. No, I'd have seen her. Besides, she was using both hands to hold the tray.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but at least we know she wanted to kill Amy. I wonder if anyone else wanted... Let's see. There was you and me and George and the professor and that young Mr. Tolliver.
Baby, that's it.
What's it?
What you just said. That's how somebody could have been sure Amy would get the poison.
What?
Sure. Now I know who killed her.
You do?
Uh-huh. Unless there was a mistake. Unless the poison wasn't meant for Amy.
Well, but who else could it have been meant for?
You, sweetheart. You.
It's a tough case we have here, folks, but have you heard the case of the stubborn motor? The villain was Old Man Winter, and the victim, an innocent automobile. One dark night, while the car was parked at the curb, Winter came along and tied up the motor so it couldn't start. Next morning, the owner of the car was baffled. He blamed the motor for not starting, called it stubborn, and several other things. And then a neighbor came to the rescue, told him about K-Sight, and now he always gets quick, sure starts no matter how cold the weather. Now, don't laugh, friends. That's a true case. It's happened millions of times. Even in sub-zero weather, cars start quickly and easily with K-Sight in the crankcase oil. K-Sight retards congealing of oil. Let your motor spin over faster, saves your battery, saves your engine, saves your temper. K-Sight guarantees quick starting in winter weather or double your money back. Get K-Sight from your garage, service station, or car dealer. Only 65 cents a pint. Use it two ways, a pint through the air intake to tune up your motor, a pint in the crankcase to give you quick, sure starting. Remember this, no matter what motor oil you're using, you'll get better and smoother motor performance when you add K-Sight. Michael Shane thinks he knows who poisoned Amy. Unless the poison wasn't meant for Amy, it might have been meant for Phyllis. At least Shane considers that a possibility that Phyllis doesn't quite like. Now, in Shane's office, she asks him,
"Oh, but Michael, why would anyone want to kill me?"
"Oh, I don't think anyone would."
"Oh, well, thank you for those kind sentiments, but then why did you say that..."
"I was just trying to cover every possibility."
"Well, after all, I've never met the professor or his wife or Mr. Tolliver before, and well, I don't think Amy or George would have..."
"Say, you're right. Amy was the intended victim, and that means only one person could have killed her. Come on."
"Where are we going?"
"To that one person." "Oh, wait a minute, honey, wait a minute. I want to make a phone call. You get the car, will you, and I'll be right down."
"Yeah, all right, Michael, but don't you think..."
"Yes, baby, sometimes I do, sometimes." Well, here we are.
But Michael, but this is Amy and George's apartment.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'll ring.
But do you mean George? Do you mean that he...
"Well, we'll see, honey."
"Oh, Michael, quit trying to keep me in suspense. You're not the type for dramatics."
"Oh, you should hear me quote Shakespeare."
"Oh."
"I don't hear anyone coming."
"Well, maybe he isn't home."
"Say, wait a minute. Look."
"What?"
"The door is open."
"Uh-oh."
"What's the matter?"
"Don't you ever listen to the radio?"
"What do you mean?"
"Well, whenever anyone finds a door open, there's always a corpse inside."
"Well, let's go see."
You go first."
"Okay."
"Well, is there?"
"Corpse? Well, I don't see any."
"Oh, good. Well, maybe in one of the other rooms."
"Oh, I don't think so."
"Hello, George."
"Oh, no answer."
"Funny that he went out and left the door open."
"Yeah."
"Well, what do we do now?"
"Well, sit down and wait. He'll probably be back soon."
"All right." "Strange."
"Hmm? What is?"
"This place, without Amy."
"Yeah."
"Remember the time we were here and she was fluttering all over the place? Now it's so quiet."
"She was a sweet little nitwit."
"It's hard to think she's gone. How could anyone..." "Michael, was it George?"
"Well, look, honey. We're agreed that the murderer's problem was to see that it was Amy who got the poison, right?"
"All right. How could he be sure? After all, Helen offered me the tray first, and I could have picked any cup on..." "Good heavens. Suppose I... Oh, Michael."
"No, sweetheart, no, you wouldn't have. That's just the point. The poison wasn't in the coffee. It was in the sugar. The murderer simply dropped a poison lump in the bowl sometime during the evening, right on top."
"Yeah, but even so, how would he know... How would he know Amy would get it? You said before that..."
"Because, baby, you and Amy were the only two women guests."
"Oh, so we'd be served first, of course."
"Why, sure. You said yourself Helen Watkins is very proper."
And since I don't use sugar, no matter which of us she served first, that would leave the poison lump for Amy."
"Right, honey. But that means the murderer had to be someone who knows you don't use sugar, and that's George. Because you never met any of the others before."
"Then it was George."
"Well, it looks like..."
"Yes, it was George."
"George!"
"Now, don't move. I have a gun."
"Yes, so I see."
"I saw you drive up, so I left the door open and hid in the next room. I wondered how you knew. I thought I might overhear something."
"I guess we gave you an earful."
"You certainly did."
"Now what? What are you going to do?"
"I don't know. This is very awkward."
"Yeah, especially for us.
However, I can't let you go, knowing what you do. I'm afraid I'll have to..."
"You'll do nothing, Vickers. Drop that gun."
"Sergeant."
"Hello, Sergeant. I've been waiting for you, and am I glad I asked you to meet me here." "Well, it's all wrapped up, baby. It seems he and Amy were insured in each other's names, and he felt like cashing in."
"Oh, I see. Tell me something, Mr. Shane."
"All right, what?"
"Did you know George was in the other room when you told me he was the murderer?"
"Well, I thought he might be. I knew the sergeant was coming because I phoned him. And I figured it might be a chance to get George to tip his hand."
"I see."
"Clever, huh?"
"Mm-hmm. Michael, you're Brit."
"Oh, it was nothing. Really, honey, nothing at all."
"Oh, yes, it was. Figured the whole thing out and trapped the killer. You're really amazing. Absolutely a genius."
"Well, if you insist, thank you, my pet."
There's only one little thing you overlooked.
Oh? What's that?
Suppose the sergeant had been late.
Uh-oh.
Michael Chane, Private Detective, stars Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. Tonight's story was written by Jerome Epstein and directed by Michael Raffetto, and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and played by Len Salvo. This is Charles Arlington speaking. Your car ever sputter and cough like that? If so, you need K-Sight, for K-Sight cleans motors and keeps them clean, guarantees better and smoother performance or double your money back. Only 65 cents a pint. K-Sight makes a big difference you can notice immediately. And that's why we say, no matter what kind of motor oil you're using, you will get better and smoother motor performance when you add K-Sight. This program came to you from Hollywood. Stay tuned to this station for the adventures of the Falcon. It immediately follows station identification. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Today's commentary is brought to you by The Only Living Boy, a graphic novel series written by longtime listener and award-winning comics creator David Gallagher, along with Steve Ellis. Inspired by classic pulp novels, old-time radio broadcast, and Saturday morning cartoons, The Only Living Boy is a swashbuckling graphic novel. And now this acclaimed epic fantasy is available in print for the first time. It tells the story of Eric, a runaway boy who awakens on a strange planet. He may be the last human alive, but he is not alone. Eric must team up with an insect princess and a mermaid warrior to defeat an evil dragon and a slew of dangerous creatures. Discover the graphic novel series called Magical by Pop Matters and Very Fun by IO9. I've read the first volume and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's an exciting and colorful story which makes it a great gift that children will love to read while still holding the attention of adult readers. Volume 1 of The Only Living Boy is on sale in bookstores and wherever great graphic novels are sold on March 8th. Buy your copy today at olbcomic.com. Welcome back. By far, actually, my favorite episode of this series. Probably even more than Body in the Trunk. I particularly like the scene in the car. That is one of the most daring moves we've seen a radio detective make. And very well acted by Wally Mayer there. Now, it's probably worth noting that the series, while not being over the top by any means, definitely you do see a bit more of a hard-boiled influence. In some ways, kind of like Nick Carter. Of course, Nick Carter was never really hard-boiled, but it definitely changed in terms of the peril and the way it was presented to kind of keep up with the rise of the hard-boiled private eye, which had really taken off with Rogue's Gallery over radio in the summer of 1945. And you do hear that here with the peril and some of the more tough guy talk that Michael used here. Of course, there is a bit of a similarity to Nick Carter in the way that Michael Chane just puts their lives in danger. But you still see that Phyllis is a different character than Patsy because she just called him on the carpet for needlessly putting their lives at risk at the end of the episode. Which is, again, something that Patsy rarely did, despite the fact Nick did that every single week. I wish there were more episodes of the series, particularly of this national broadcast. But this is our very last episode of this particular version of Michael Chane. But by no means are we done with this character. Because Michael Chane over Mutual ended, but there was a syndicated series. And if it seems like Michael Chane had changed a lot in these last two episodes from the wartime shows we had been listening to, Well, when you listen next week, the change will be even more dramatic. And whether it's for good or for ill depends on the listener. But you'll want to be sure and listen for the new adventures of Michael Shane starting next week. In the meanwhile, do send your comments to Box 13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.